Welcome back to another episode of Sexy Marriage Radio, alongside my wife, Pam.
Always good to be here.
Each and every week, having straightforward, honest conversations about all things marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, typically, we land and we'll for sure spend some time in the category of our sex lives and how that plays out in marriage and how it's a language and how you do sex is how you do life. There's a lot of taglines we've used over the 14 years of doing this. But today we're going to do an episode on the idea of mind mapping, which we've talked about in the past, because it's a term and a framework built on from Schnarch, that he kind of coined the idea of based on the theory of the mind, but now we're getting way too in the weeds. But we're going to pull some information from an upcoming book, actually, that...
Yeah.
We'll just kind of walk through what...
Tell us more, Dr. Allen.
Well, the manuscript is done for book number two, and it's an exciting thing to be done and have this thing
for
starting to take a lot more shape.
For clarity for those listening, Corey's writing a book, and so that some of this is pulling from that.
Correct.
It's not just a book from...
From some unknown dude.
Unknown dude. Yeah. Corey's writing this book, and so we're really excited about it. Right. Yeah.
And so what we'll spend some time talking about in the regular version is just how mind mapping actually, what it actually is and how it's really at play and what we need to do about it.
And how it's helpful, how you read it, how you're already doing it.
And the pitfalls therein.
The life application to it. Yeah.
And then on the extended content, which is deeper, longer, and there's no ads, you can subscribe at smr.fm/academy. We're going to talk about how mind mapping plays out in sex. Because it's one of the most prolific areas where mind mapping can become problematic or beneficial because it's so much more intense.
Like any other tool, you can use it for good or bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
And so here's what we're talking about is the idea that this is one of the phrases I've used a lot over the years of doing this job as a marriage and family therapist, is that most couples don't have trouble communicating, actually.
While they think they do, they come to you because we just can't communicate.
Right. They don't fail because they can't communicate. It actually is, I've used the phraseology of it's handling the message better. But then if you bring in the concept of mind mapping, it's also problematic because we think we can't communicate because in actuality, we're just pretending not to know.
Yeah. So what you've historically said a lot is, it's not that you don't communicate. You communicate just fine.
Right.
You just don't like the message that's coming at you.
Right. Right.
And it's frustrating. And then how do I handle that? And how do I...
Right.
What do we do next?
And this can go both ways, right? Because there's this element of you and I could be having a conversation about something and my mind is reading something. And some of this is subconscious, right? It'll get cued in on some things. I'll start to feel a little heated up. Or exposed or abandoned or threatened or whatever. And it's all in the deep levels of our mind. Mm-hmm. But then those will trigger emotions and feelings. And so we're talking about how this all blends together with mind mapping.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not mind reading.
No.
Be very, very
no,
clear.
No, no, no,
it's
no.
not, I know what you're thinking.
No.
Instead, it's about understanding... I have an idea to be able to track what's going on with you. I may not be right completely with what I'm tracking.
But history
based on
has
context
shown.
And history and repetitivity and all of that, then there's likelihood I am in the right vicinity, at least, the ballpark with what I'm picking up.
Yeah, I mean, you hear the phrase, read the room.
Right. That if fits the same concept.
If you're reading a room, then you're understanding the only person in the room might be your spouse.
Right.
Are you reading the room?
And so one of the things that's imperative if we want to use mind mapping for good is to realize what's going on with me in this, not so much what's going on with you. What am I doing with what I'm mapping?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I can use this as, I mean, as one way to think about it is this can be a superpower that I use for good or for evil.
Okay.
And so when you can start to realize that this isn't mind reading, this isn't anything about, I know what you're thinking. I know your exact thoughts. Instead, mm-hmm. it's my best gut inference. That's my best gut inference of what's going on with what I'm seeing in you. Right. I mean, so this is that element of.
Then what do you do with that?
Right. This is that element of you come home. And this, we've had several examples of this as I've been thinking about this. We've had several examples of this over the last couple of days because I was gone all last week traveling. And then since I've been home, it's been a little chaotic reentry because there's a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. And we're both tired or we're both distracted. And so I could have this idea of, hey, I'm really hoping something sexual will happen, or I'm really hoping we can just hang out, or I'm really hoping we can go walk, or we can do something. And I'm reading you. And what I can do is read you and blame rather than, okay, what do I do with what I'm reading? This is how we start to use mind mapping better. Because what's being exposed in me with what I'm reading? Because one of the truisms in this whole concept is you can't turn mind mapping off. Dr. Schnarch would say it usually starts in a human being around the age 2 to 4 is when it really starts. They've been able to figure out that's when children are getting an idea of how to read their parents.
How will they react? What are they upset? Are they in a good, or right. whatever?
And yeah. so this is, it's running in the background and the foreground as this goes on and on and on, where I'm able to track mood. I'm able to track safety. I'm able to track possible outcomes of things, because every single one of us likely, if you were raised in any kind of volatile family, and I don't mean that in just a physical, verbal outrage, tirade, all that. I just mean it as a parent's mood dictated the tone of the home.
Okay.
If you were raised in that kind of environment, you're able to track and get a pretty good idea of a parent's mood without even hearing anything from them. You can walk in and see them, or they walk in and you're like, oh, run for the covers, or it's safe. That's mind mapping.
Okay.
Right? And we do this also as spouses. We do this with our kids as parents. We're able to read it. We can tell if they had a good day or not.
Yeah. Yeah. How much huffing and puffing is done? How hard did something get put down on the table when they walked in the door?
Right. And so here's where it becomes problematic is the core problem becomes, what do I do if I choose not to know or act like I don't know what I'm reading? And this is where it becomes important of what's going on with me as the dynamic's unfolding. What do I do with what I'm intuiting, with what I'm seeing, with what I'm feeling? What's the, you know, how am I in tune with me, with what I'm reading?
Why am I ignoring it? Why am I choosing not to acknowledge it?
Right. Because it's, and here's one, this would be the classic example. If you come home, or no, let's switch the side of this. I come home and you're like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm fine. But deep down, the tone and the body posture does not match what I'm saying. So then it becomes, what do you do with that? How do you mm-hmm. handle what was just communicated? Because everything else says otherwise on I'm fine. Mm-hmm. This also happens a whole lot when an I don't know is proffered as an answer of something. So I was thinking we would go do this. What do you think? I don't know. Right. There's so
many. What kind of response is that? I don't right. know. Really? You have zero response right. to that. Yeah. Okay.
So then it's what you're faced with is what do you do with that as the person that's receiving this when everything in your map is saying otherwise? Mm-hmm. Because it usually elicit things in us. And this is where we start to go off the rails, because then we become detective. We become investigative. We become prosecutor-ish of, no, hold on, because now I'm just trying to prove a point of what I'm reading that it's right.
Should I not be a detective and
blind.
Say, really, you seem like you're upset about something?
That's curious rather than detective.
How is the difference between being curious and being a detective?
Caught up in, okay, here's mind mapping going on right now between us. Of it's semantics of the words. We can get caught up in that rather than, how can I can often use this that what I'm actually trying to do is gotcha of what I'm reading is right, rather than, okay, wait, what's going on? I'm not reading the same thing as the I don't know. You know what I mean?
Okay, I still don't understand the difference between curious and detective.
Okay, fair. Like, fair. To me, detective would... Okay, I hear what you're saying.
I'm trying to uncover a crime if I'm a detective. It's not just from the goodness.
Right. Well, you're trying to curiosity. Whereas curious is... I hear it more as... I'm trying to just be open to what else could be going on and get the data.
Okay.
Rather than I'm trying to solve something, because sometimes I can solve something and my desire to try to solve something is to a detriment of us, because I just want to understand how things work rather than how's it impacting us.
Yeah.
What do I do with that?
Okay.
Just because I know the solution to a problem doesn't make the problem go away in marriage. That's one of the truisms I believe. That just because I know where you're coming from doesn't change the problem.
Yeah, I don't know that knowing where you're coming from is a solution to a problem.
Exactly. But we tend to get caught up in marital communication with that fact of if we would just understand each other, the problem will go away. Rather than, no, it won't.
It'll help me figure out how to deal with it.
All right. Right. Because I have to face responsibility of the dynamic. I need to face impact. I need to face the dynamic of what's going on in a partner. On how they're positioning themselves. Because if somebody's playing the I don't know game, let's go with that as an example.
Okay.
So you come home and I'm, hey, you I can't even think of just a minor.
Where do you want to go for dinner?
Oh, okay. Well, I want to go something a little bit deeper than that.
Okay.
Where it truly is, I don't know. And that's what they're saying.
Okay.
So it's either they are confused and they don't know, or they know, but they don't want to say it. Right? They have a real feeling about something, but they don't want to answer it. And so we can play this whole confusion game, but it's to the detriment of both of us. Rather than I could kick into this idea of, wait, I need to solve this. How about I talk you into something? I'm trying to all that. Or I need to face what's actually happening here of, well, if you don't know because you haven't given any forethought to something, okay, well, how does that impact me? If you're doing it with ulterior motives on the I don't know because you don't want to take responsibility for something, well, how does that impact me? I need to face and drill it down to how am I just facing the impact more rather than the motives behind it?
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
I'm thinking through it.
Okay.
I don't have anything to chime in here for. Okay. I'm just saying, I'm thinking.
No, I get you. So let's kind of switch it, a slight pivot. Because here's some ways that mind mapping can start to become, it'll make things go sideways. Right? When you talk about this dynamic. Because the whole point of this, and let's just get ahead of this. The whole point of this segment is how do we get better at settling ourselves down with what I'm reading and then addressing the impact of it, not trying to solve some equation about what I'm reading. I'm just being better with myself in the dynamic, because that's differentiation 101. I just handle me.
Okay.
And then I position myself better to handle whatever the dynamic and impact of things are on me.
Okay.
Okay. And so here's ways that mind mapping can go sideways. One, we've kind of touched on these others, but let's just point them out. Over certainty, where I'm mapping something in you and I'm now over certain. I know exactly, no, because of this and this and this. And so you could say, I'm fine. And I'm reading it as, no, you're not. And I got years and years of data that prove my point that I know I'm right. I know you're not fine, when there can be times when actually you are. You're fine. But what's being exposed in that is I want the ability to confirm what I'm reading is right, rather than what if I'm not completely accurate on this one.
Okay.
And what's being exposed in me is my own certainty of things and my own ability to settle down in the midst of uncertainty. The same kind of thing can happen when a reaction happens that's curt or abrupt. And I have a history of reacting to that because I read you as, well, now you're mad at me about this and now you're upset about this rather than, wait, that's what it could have been, but is that what it is now? I don't know. How do I just settle myself down, let the time pass, deal with the impact if need to, and move on? Because mind mapping is one of these fluid kind of things that's always going on, but I need to be very careful to not always think and be overly certain about, I've got it. I've got it figured out. I have them mapped to a T.
Yeah, you might.
Because there will be times when you won't.
Yeah, you might still be certain about spouse 2.0.
Right.
You're still stuck in what they used to do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't do what they used to do all the time.
Although what they used to do all the time is still buried in the operating system. And this is why it becomes problematic. Because if I get something that's exposed based on old data, but I feel like I'm more evolved, and you're reading something that's based on old data, I have trouble admitting the fact that old data could still be there, even though it's used differently. It's not weaponized as much. It's not as smokescreened as much or whatever. I don't use it as ways to avoid things, but it is still there because that's an old pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So realizing that I need to just be more mindful of how overly certain am I as I start to be in tune with what's going on around me. I also need to look at it as sometimes my mind mapping is more about my own anxiety-driven control, that I'm reading things too much because I don't want to have to manage myself. I'm trying to just manage your mood with what I'm reading.
Is that about trying to manage yourself, or is that about here's how I would operate, so I'm assuming this is how you would operate as well?
No, it's more on, I'm trying to think. So since I got back, we were sitting around together, just kind of hanging out, watching the Olympics. And you were working on something and I reached over and just tried to fix something. And you're like, I got this. Don't fix it for me.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, it was just an instinctual thing I would do because you're struggling and you had some subtle cues of it wasn't working the way you were wanting it to work. It wasn't coming as easy as you wanted it to come. And so I'm like, whatever. And I just reached over and grabbed it and you jumped in. My instinctual reaching over and grabbing it and solving it for you is based on mind mapping.
Yeah.
Right? Your reaction back to me is based on mind mapping of stop doing what you do. let me figure this out. Because you've been on a thread more lately of I need to understand some things that I've not done lately, technologically or whatever it might be, things that you normally have not had a history of. I want to jump in and figure this out. Because you just don't, you wouldn't spend the time or the energy for it, partly because you didn't need to. But there's been elements now of you are. And so my wanting to reach over and solve that for you is based on a mind map, but it's also driven by not necessarily always good motives by me. Some of it could be, I want to be very, very helpful. But some of it can be, I don't want to deal with the mood and your frustration. So just solve it.
There you go.
Right?
Now you know, folks.
Well, but that's the underneath of where this is actually operating.
Okay.
And so when you can realize that, that's not about what I'm mapping in you. It's what's going on with me, because my instinctual reach over and do that for you and us, quote unquote, is anxiety driven of me, not your anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your fixer mode.
Right. It's the same thing we can do with kids that are struggling with something. We step in and solve it rather than having to let them have to solve it themselves or face it themselves.
Yeah.
That's anxiety driven. That's our anxiety, not their struggle.
Yes. We help those who ask for help.
Right.
Don't help them if they don't ask.
Right. That was the phrase you said right back
to me. It was.
Actually.
It was.
Right. Another way this can go sideways is best way to describe it is self-abandonment. That I'm tracking so intensely, I'm just completely unaware of what's going on with me while I'm tracking.
Yeah.
I'm not even in tune with what's going on. What am I feeling based on the situation as it's unfolding? I'm just so into attunement of everything around me.
That seems like it might be the one that allows it to escalate quicker, because I'm just not paying attention potentially to.
Well, sure, because you know who's paying attention that you're not paying attention? The other person.
The other person, yeah.
Yeah, because, and then that, again, that may not be conscious, but deep down, this is where the phrases of "you always do that" can be reactionary. Mm-hmm. Because it's true. It's built on context of there's truth to that. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do that a lot. So that makes it completely go sideways. And then the last one, we've already kind of hinted around this, is the idea of weaponized insight, where I'm doing it as a prosecutor. Mm. It's a gotcha. I'm scoring points. I'm proving I'm right. I'm exposing something, you know, because I'm more driven on the I want to be right than what about actually connecting? What about actually having a deeper interaction, a deeper exposing of things?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I'm always right, then I'm married to someone who's always wrong.
Right.
Well, that's no fun.
Right. And so how do we switch this to a growth edge is kind of the way to think about this. How do we shift this to where we realize, okay, the point of this is my own growth.
Absolutely.
Right? So we'll do this on just kind of a global, and then on the extended content, we'll go in a little bit deeper.
Okay.
So as globally, one of the first things you need to do, if this is resonating at all, or if you're totally confused, feedback at sexymarriageradio.com, 214-702-9565, either one, let us know, and we'll keep trying to unpack this to make it more clear. Because what I've discovered when I talk with clients about this, it's a little easier to drill in because I got real-time data right in front of me.
Yeah, they're personal real-life examples, yes.
But there is an element of times where it's like we're walking around in the fog, and then all of a sudden the fog lifts and that's what you start seeing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, now you start realizing I'm mapping everything all the time, and you're starting to become more aware of, oh, somebody just walked in and man, their presence really made me bristle. Okay, what's that about? Rather than not what's going on with them as much as what's going on with me on why that just happened. Because some map just overlaid another one.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this for work right now and how that happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so this happens always every relationship. Mm-hmm. It can even happen with your animals. Let's just, they don't map you as much as we map them, but we have maps of them based on how everybody in our life interacts.
Okay.
Okay. But so how do we go from confusion to courage? Because that's what this really takes to face it, is how do I get courageous? And I have to first realize that my spouse isn't a mystery, actually. We often throw around this banter of, oh, you'll never understand a woman. You'll never understand your spouse. You'll never understand a man, whatever it might be. And no, you actually kind of do. They're not really a mystery. Question becomes, how do I own what I already perceive of them and face them as they really are?
I was going to say, is my perception really accurate?
It will bear out in time.
Okay.
If it is or isn't. But oftentimes it's based more on accuracy than inaccuracy. The question becomes, what do I do with that? And so now it's learning to actually face and love them as they are. Because a lot of times what we'll do is we will skew the data on who I wish you will become by how I interact with you. Mm-hmm. Rather than how do I just face you as you are, mm-hmm. right? And the other thing is to realize that strong, great marriages, they're not built on perfect communication. This ability to have this perfect communication, nirvana, that's not what creates it.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, it's seeing clearly what's going on and then choosing what I do with it, with what I see. It's interacting so that my actions align with my words, right? I'm listening to, there's a Mel Robbins Let Them Theory book.
Okay.
I'm listening to that. I'm finishing that up this week. And
the name of the book is Let Them.
The name of the book is The Let Them Theory.
Okay.
And it's along the same lines. And I'm loving it because it fits real well with what we're talking about here. She just uses different terminology. but it's the idea of let their actions show who they are. Let them. Right. And she was the one that the chapter I just listened to was on dating. So it was for younger people or in the dating scene. And if you got somebody that's like, oh, yeah, well, let's go out for a date, and they never actually set up a date, believe what they say by what they do. Don't believe what they say by what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly they're saying, let's not go on a date.
Same thing with spouses. This is where it gets more insidious on what it exposes in us, though. That a spouse says, yeah, I really do want to do X, Y, Z, but they never set it up. Well, trust that. Trust what they do, not what they say. This is where mind mapping starts to come into play on how is it congruent or not, because then you can start seeing who they are and how they might be skewing some things, avoiding some things, whatever. And it's not, I need to gotcha on it. I need to just address that better. That's where the courage comes into play. Because then it comes down to, what do I choose to do with this? And then how do I interact more aware of my own anxieties, uncertainties, fear, and not let that run the show, but actually deal with what I'm facing better because I'm handling me better.
Yeah. Well, and some of these things that you're talking about could be things that the spouse says they want for themselves. It could be things that they say they want for you combined as a couple.
Yep.
I mean, I think of things I've said, right? I really want to take dance classes together.
Yep.
Have I ever set that up? No.
Nope. Not yet.
And at first, I got negative responses from you, right? Like I'm not interested in that. And then but later on, you were like, I will do it with you. You just have to be the one to set it up.
I'm just not excited enough to be the one to lead the charge to make it happen.
Have I? And to this day, I still haven't made that happen. Mm-hmm. And so what does that say to you about the importance of it? Number one, mm-hmm. in my life, on a number of different fronts, not just about but other things, right?
This is where it starts to cue into other areas, because we often can be a best intention people in one area, not realizing I also am that in other areas too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my spouse knows.
Yeah.
So what do I do to shore up as much as I can and let that be what I'm teaching?
Yeah.
Let me be better at teaching, because that's the other side of Mel Robbins' theory. It's the let them theory, which is basically just let people be who they are, and then let me practice my own agency and how I address them, which is the exact same thing we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Of how do I address what I'm seeing from me, from my stance, from my solidness, from my integrity, from mm-hmm. my character, and out of goodness and well-meaning and so how am I living that? Because this is the best way to do this is when I'm settled. Like if let's go back to how we started this. I come home from the end of a day or come out from the office after a group and you're like, how are you doing? And I'm fine. And you hear that as, no, that doesn't line up. What you said doesn't line up with what I'm reading. So you could easily, if you're unsettled, now it's a fight. Who's right about what was read, or was I caught with what you know, or whatever, you know, whatever it might be on them. My words don't line up with my actions versus, oh, okay. I don't know if I'm not reading it that way. And it's a very settled statement. That's exposing that I could maybe react poorly to, or, yeah, maybe. And then maybe it comes back, or maybe at least logs it into my own brain of, what was that about? What was going on? Was I just blowing it off? Or was it, you know, and now your settledness changes our dynamic in that moment versus if you're anxious about something, it changes the dynamic too in a negative way. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? Because it's the idea of when anxiety is one of the most contagious things there are in a marriage. Calm can spread equally too, though. It just takes more reserve and resolve to have calm spread, because it won't spread as fast as anxiety does.
No, no, no. Keep your FM DJ voice on.
Late night FM DJ.
Yes, yeah. You're chatting. Yes.
But it's, so the goal is, all of this isn't to become a better investigator or prosecutor or detective even. It's to become a better and steadier you. That you just settle yourself down based on what you're reading and what you're hearing, and you address it. Even if that means, you know what, I don't read it that way yet, and I don't want to get into a fight about it, so let's pick this up later. And then you just move on to something else. Because even that disrupts the system. And most of the time, if you have these patterns of repetitive things, disrupting the system is step one. And the only way you disrupt it is by you do something different, not your spouse.
Yeah, don't wait for them to do that.
Yeah, because that's deceding the power, and it'll go wherever they want to go. They're not leading the charge like you're trying to lead your charge for you and your relationship.
Yeah.
As we segue into the extended content, let's keep the conversation going. But now we'll get into the idea of how, where, nowhere else is mind mapping more hyperactive than in our bedrooms, in our sex lives. Because just at face value, to kind of start the conversation, this is the idea that higher desire could be constantly scanning for receptivity and interest, whereas the low desire can be constantly scanning for pressure, resentment, cues, subtleties, interest, right? I mean, that's a dynamic that's going on in our DNA in some ways, and then it just gets hyper-vigilant in marriage because you have enough data about each person to know what turns them on, when they're interested, what will trigger something, and now all of a sudden your brain kicks into overdrive.
Sure.
And then it's also more rampant when we have any kind of sexual dysfunction that happens. When there's an ED issue, when there's a lack of arousal or lubrication issue or an anorgasmic issue or a no desire issue that happens. Now you get those going on of, oh, is this going to happen again? You know, it's that proverbial waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Okay.
So you've had something happen, man, the back of your head, you're reading a dynamic as well as yourself of, when's that going to happen again? That's all based on mind mapping. Okay. And so what we want to talk about is, how do we realize that in bed, we're not just physically naked, we're also emotionally and psychologically naked?
That's a really good point, right? Everything is exposed.
Right.
You're just, so much of your guard gets let down. And if you don't let it down, that scene, right? We're going to map, if I'm not letting that guard down, that's evident.
Well, then we have a less intimate depth moment, but we can, and here's one of the things that's interesting is functional sex can still be problematic when we talk about sex at a deeper tone and level. Just because you have good pleasurable.
Functional sex is not necessarily at a deeper tone and level,
but,
right?
But I think a lot of the world thinks it's just a bodily pleasure thing, when there's a whole different layer of things available to us, that mind mapping is the manner in which we get there.
Yeah, well, I think
or if, it keeps us from getting there.
Yeah, if sex is intended the way that, in my opinion, it is used the way it's intended to be, it is about that deeper level. It is about that connection, and really, it's about more than just procreation.
Right. Right. And so sex actually puts a whole bunch of themes together, right? It'd be like desirability, worth, rejection, power, safety, performance, scarcity, aging, betrayal, comparison, entitlement. I mean, all of these things can be a part of the playground that we're reading, that we're unsure about, that we're in tune for, that we're watching for, that are they into this? Are they not? Right. And so the brain is constantly scanning the environment. That's what makes this so problematic for so many couples to get to. This is where the phrase, we have sex up to the level of anxiety we can tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you read a spouse as they're not into this, they've checked out. And your reading it means you likely could check out too. Because to actually face it in that moment can be very, very perilous. To even just open your eyes and speak up and say,
where'd you go?
Is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because deep down, you know, possibly, that could end this experience and future ones for a while.
Possibly.
Because what if we have to really face what's been going on underneath the surface the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like internal films going on at the same time for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so what each partner can be watching, here's a couple of questions to think about. What we're watching for is, what am I feeling physically? What do they think I'm feeling physically? Are they watching what's going on? What does this mean about me? Because this is where it becomes real interesting of the meanings are the problems we can often have about the things. Right? If I really enjoy this, what does this mean about me? Because maybe good people don't feel these things. Good people don't think these things. Good
or
people
if
don't
I can't get
things.
Excited, if I can't get turned on tonight, what does that mean about me?
Right.
What does that say?
Right. Because meanings is where we really need to land on what's being exposed in us and what we're reading to. Because the kicker is our body responds to our interpretation of reality, not reality.
Okay.
Do you follow?
Yeah. Again, I'm thinking on it.
I'm with you.
Which makes for fantastic radio.
It's really good. It's really good podcast airways.
Yeah.
But like if I interpret a pause by you as something that's like a disgust reaction or a distract, you know, that's a disgust reaction is different than a distracted reaction. So my interpretation changes how I will react to it.
Which is different from a I'm thinking reaction, right? I'm just trying to settle myself down and figure it out.
Well, this is the academy we're talking to here. So we had an encounter with each other a couple times ago when I had a playlist running. And one of the songs that came on was from that movie,
City of Angels.
City of Angels, where the character dies. Spoiler alert. It's such an old movie, though. If you haven't seen it and I'm spoiling it, that's on you.
Yeah, Meg Ryan's character dies at the end.
After he gives up being an angel to be with her.
Yeah, and that's all I can think about is, she dies at the end.
And it's going
so
on
sad.
In me, too. But neither one of us had the courage to actually speak up and say, we got to change this music. And instead, it disrupted the flow of everything for a little while.
Yeah.
Before we finally kind of came to the surface and we're like, okay, hang on. We got to reset. We got to do something different. And then we even had an unpacking of it after of like, yeah, that's what was going on. And I'm like, that was me too. But neither one of us actually spoke up.
Yeah.
Well, this is the interpretation of what we're reading. Because I was reading it. I'm hearing that going on as the song. And I had a thought of like, oh. That's not sexy. And then I just kind of put it aside and was like trying to focus back to where we are. But then I'm reading you not cluing in on you're hearing the same song and having the same reaction. I'm cluing in on a map of she's just out of it.
She's just
going
not
through
into
the motions.
This.
She's not into this at all. This is not fun at all. And I start doing pity party. You know, what do I need to do about this? Blah, blah, blah. And it's the interpretation of everything that's throwing us off the rails. Well, rephrase, throwing me off the rails.
Interpretation, yes.
Right? Yeah. It's like if you interpret silence, that's an interesting dynamic of you say something and your partner's silent. How do you interpret that? Because the body's going to react to your interpretation of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that. Because that's the concept of how do I settle myself down to actually create possibilities for different interpretations based on reality or face what I really need to face in that moment. Okay. And so when you look at how this starts to unfold. How do we start being better at monitoring where I am and what's motivating me in sexual moments, as well as monitoring what's going on in the dynamic? Because it's not, and again, this is not about trying to be somebody that's sitting there taking notes during encounters. Mm-mm. That's not sexy. Well, some people might, depending on your wiring.
There's always someone out there.
It could be somebody that's got a fantasy of that. But it's realizing that when we're involved in a sexual encounter, how do I look at a dynamic of what's going on in me as it pertains to what's going on in the moment with each other? How am I relaxing into a moment and allowing myself? Because this is where it becomes so interesting of if I'm reading you as checked out and I interpret that, it'll lead likely to me being checked out.
I would think that would be a high likelihood.
Well, the reverse is also true. If I allow you to read me as engaged and enthralled in something, it has a possibility or a likelihood of you getting more engaged and enthralled in something too.
I would say that would be helpful.
So
I would agree with that.
So we can feed off of things positively or negatively. And so the mind mapping becomes important where I'm reading what's going on, I'm settling myself down, and then I'm allowing myself to be mapped with what I do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And how I engage in things, where I actually start to confront dynamics and I'm bringing myself forward, not trying to audition about something. I'm actually just leading something where I want it to go.
Mm.
I'm engaging in something on the way I want it to be. I'm opening myself up to, yes, let's try this. What do you think about that? You know, and it's a different dynamic.
Yeah. Well, that means that whoever, I mean, you as the instigator or whoever, someone's got to lead the charge, right? You can't always be the second person to be enthusiastic or be enthralled with it. Someone has to lead the charge.
Right. And so sometimes the best way to start this process in our sex lives is to just become more in tune with what's going on with me and bring myself to the moment faster. I don't have to fake something. I don't have to be all enthusiastic about something. But back to our example of the song from City of Angels.
Mm-hmm.
If one of us would have just said, hang on, I'm really distracted by this song.
Can we flip past this one?
I want to fast forward this song and then let's back up a little bit. That would have changed everything,
mm-hmm.
likely to an even deeper depth later, because it was I'm getting engaged in this moment as it is right now, even with what I'm reading of you. I'm willing to take what I'm reading of you. And this could be either one of us doing it. It's not just me doing it, right? This could have been you doing it too, of like, hey, I'm totally distracted by this song and it's got me not in a sexy spot. So I want to be there. Hang on. And you take care of what you need to take care of. And then you come back and then it's like, okay, now you kind of, I'm presenting myself differently as I'm here and I'm letting that be read because I'm confronting something that normally I would just maybe push to the side and act like isn't there.
I got you.
So that's a deeper level entryway just by the mere fact of bringing myself and anxiety regulating to the moment.
It's interesting you think about that specific scenario because I don't think this is too far off of what people would do. You're the one that brings a playlist. And I'm thinking, well, does he like this song? He's the one that started the playlist. And so maybe it was something like that he really liked. And
I blame Spotify. You know? Let's be clear.
Right. And so I didn't know. Did you curate this playlist on purpose?
I'll avoid this sucker every day of the week. I can't.
Some random Spotify thing. And so you get That's how fair. Those things play in.
This is
in.
The deeper level of mind mapping completely.
Yeah. Well, he was purposeful about putting on music. So maybe he picked these songs.
Maybe he has a thing for Meg Ryan. Maybe he has, you know, all these different things that can go
well,
on.
Well, that's a whole different thing in the mind mapping. I don't even want to go down that trail. She's pretty cute.
But it's the same concept of these are the things that can be deeper down of what's being exposed versus, okay, maybe that is what reality is. Maybe those are nuances of what's happening in reality. The goal becomes, how do I bring my reality to bear better for myself and let that determine where it goes?
Yeah. Because I'm harping on this, but even in that scenario, even if your spouse did specifically pick things out, if it doesn't work for you, you know, in hindsight, why didn't I say something?
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to want to know, that just didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the rabbit trail I went down.
If indeed what people will say in marriage of, I really want to do this when you're into it, well, then you're going to call it out on, well, let's see.
Okay, yeah, because I'm not into it with this. Right. So but maybe not say so it in the tone that I just now said it in.
I'm aware of that map too. but it's that element of, okay, I'm going to let them actually just see me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let that help dictate where it may go or where it may not. And we'll see, because if they're saying, because I hear this a lot from higher desires, I really want my lower desire spouse to want to be in this. Well, you got to give them room to prove that.
Yeah.
And if they speak up, it's very possible, if not likely, what they speak up about won't be something that you'd be like, oh yeah, it'll be a little like off-putting or uncertain or whatever, because it's like, whoa, but that's them figuring it out
mm-hmm.
in real time with you, which puts you in a different dilemma. I mean, I know for certain when the day comes that you've got dance class lessons set up, there will be an anxiety in me initially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay, well, now it's time to follow through with what I said.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I'm not excited about it or like the idea of it or anything. It just means that's going to be a reaction of it, because now it's going to be like, because the back of my mind knows that ain't happening for a while.
I mean, in reality, it's like, oh, when we finally retire, yeah. I'm just like, when is there time to do it is what it looks like.
Right. But this is the same kind of concept of, this is all at play in our sex lives. And what we don't realize is more often than not, we need to be more in tune with myself of what I'm reading and settling down to then do something about, not just adjusting to what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
How do I actually settle myself down so I can do this outside of the bedroom, which is the easiest place to start it?
Mm-hmm.
They come home, they're in a bad mood, they give you a tone that just gets under your skin, and your immediate reaction is whatever the normal immediate reaction is. Settle yourself down. Don't take the bait of the tone. See it as a possibility of adjusting in real time with, oh, okay, well, what's going on? And now all of a sudden I position myself differently to hear them, to have compassion, to be present, whatever. And maybe it does nothing, but man, you can be proud of you of like, oh, I just changed my dance step.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then that opens up the possibilities in all realms of life to bring myself forward more. And face what I need to face about me in these dynamics, because that's where the whole rubber meets the road anyway.
Yeah.
This has to be said as we wrap this whole thing up based on what we just talked about in the extended content and even how it played out in the regular version too of when we're talking about mind mapping. What's fascinating to me as I'm looking back at this show after recording it now is all of the mind mapping I had going on of you as we're having the conversation about mind mapping.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to break that down.
Just reading.
Break it down.
Reading what you're seeing, what's happening, what, you know, the facial expressions, all the different things. It's like, you know, and it's this whole element because like, wait, I got this path I want to go. And then there's times when you, no, let's go this way. I'm like, I wasn't ready for that path. Hold on, you know.
Let it go. Let it go.
Exactly. But it's in real time all the time. And so the more we can see it, hopefully we can settle ourselves down, go where it needs to go, still stay in tune with myself, and make it better for both people, hopefully, because it's a better dance that we can do together.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, we want to know. 214-702-9565 or feedback@sexymarriageradio.com. So however you took a little bit of time out to spend with us today, thanks, and we'll see you next time.